Are you a workaholic or a hard worker? Very different things. And it was highlighted, especially in regards to your health, most recently in the Washington Post. It was actually earlier this month that they really talked about how we work and how that impacts our health in the workplace. And we wanted to talk about it a little bit deeper this morning with Gary Phelan, who is our employment attorney on the morning show. He also teaches law up at Quinnipiac University. And this is certainly something I would imagine probably comes up even in the classroom, Gary, is really finding that line where you don't go over the hard worker line into workaholism, because that may not be the best thing for everybody. I know for some it's their way of life, but for others it could be very detrimental to their health and certainly their relationships around them. So I'm glad we're talking about this very prevalent topic this morning. How are you?
Good, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. I know for myself, if I'm being totally transparent, there are times since I've been in the broadcasting industry that I have definitely teetered this line and I have gone over into the workaholism and I've gone back over to just being a very hard, dedicated worker. So I have no real, I'm not going to sit here and like point fingers and judge people about this, because I think it's very easy to go over that line, especially in America today. What about you, Gary? Can you relate to this?
Absolutely. This is an important topic for me because, I was, I guess I was one of the 15% of workers in America, certainly from in the 1990s and into the first decade of the 2000, in part because it worked for me, where I joined a prominent firm. I just thought, the one thing I can do, the other associates, one from Harvard, one from Yale, I didn't go to either of those schools, is that I could work more hours. And I think at some point, I was brought up with a strong work ethic, but, it's where you don't necessarily, it's not like you know where that line is. But when it starts to interfere with your life, that's where it becomes a problem, when it starts to affect your health. It often, in the short term, is beneficial. But what studies have shown, is that there's really no correlation between workaholism and job performance. So it may feel like you're getting ahead because of how much you're working, and it may do that in the short term, but not in the long term.
So, it's interesting because this study really talks about the health implications. Is this impacting your health in a negative way if you go too far and work consumes your life? And as you mentioned, roughly 15% of workers are considered to be workaholics. What can you tell us about this?
Well, I do think also in this technology has actually increased the number of people because it reduces boundaries. Where somebody, it used to be, somebody leaves work, they're not going to be continuing to work. But now with working from home, with working, with iPhones, is people may be working all the time. So they don't necessarily know when work ends and where life begins. And that becomes the sort of the default, the core of their life is all about work. And I think it's, the problem is just, and I think people need to really ask themselves. This is not something necessarily, that an employer is going to go to an employee, who is working very hard. And, whether, for example, a lawyer, they're probably bringing in a lot of revenue. Most employers aren't going to say, hey, Joe, why don't you start working less?
Yeah, right.
Although I did have one of my former later partners who actually at the end of a trial wanted to speak to me. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what did I do wrong? And he said, you work too much and you need to cut back. And I thought, I don't understand that. Like hard work is good. But I think it often, it just is something where if you feel like this is interfering with my life, I'm losing relationships, I'm being told by people you work too much, I'm turning down things, because of how much I'm working. And if work doesn't bring joy, I really promote the idea of loving what you do. But when you're doing it all the time, you start to love it less.
That's so true. And again, we have Gary Phelan here, who's our employment attorney on the morning show. We're talking about the difference between a workaholic and a hard worker. How do you know, though, Gary, that you've gone too far, that it's consuming you? Because what's interesting is you may have somebody point out that, hey, you work too hard. But if you feel like it's fueling you, it's really what's keeping you focused, motivated, getting you up in the morning. It's where you feel happiest. Some people may not recognize that they've crossed that line and that there are relationships now going by the wayside, or maybe their health is not where it used to be. I mean, how do we personally recognize that we've gone past hard worker status to now workaholic?
You know, I think a lot of it is just trying to be self-aware. Because it's not like you wake up one morning and think, gee, maybe I'm working too much. But if it's having effects on your life in other ways, then at least to think about, is this being caused by, you know, just this obsessive kind of behavior or compulsive behavior where I need to work as opposed to wanting to work? There's no, you know, bright line between the two. It really involves people really thinking about themselves and maybe talking to people around them and saying, hey, you know, whether it's coworkers or people in their, you know, significant other or families, and asking them those questions. You know, if they're at dinner, like I used to be sometimes with my family, with the then BlackBerry next to me in case I get a message, that's not healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's going to manifest itself, other than kind of making people a little annoyed, you know, with long-term effects such as things like divorce.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's interesting about it, Gary, is people think if you're a workaholic, it means that you are a better performer, that you make more money, that you're doing more for the company when you're a workaholic. But that may not actually be the case. In fact, in this most recent article from the Washington Post just last week, it says in there at one point, in a 2016 meta-analysis, the authors found no correlation between workaholism and job performance, meaning workaholics aren't covering themselves in glory or even separating themselves from the pack. And then it continues a few paragraphs down and says in that same 2016 analysis, it said that workaholics suffer impacts far beyond the workplace. It showed that there was a real correlation between workaholism and life dissatisfaction. So not only are you not separating yourself from the pack, you're not really, on average, standing out from the person who's doing their regular, you know, 8-hour shift, but you're more unhappy, as you were mentioning. You may not like work as much as you used to. You may not like life as much as you used to. You may let it define you too much. And all of a sudden, you're not that happy of a person. There's no real gain. There's not as much gain being a workaholic versus a hard worker.
Yeah, and that's true. That's true in the long run. I think in the short term, that's not necessarily recognizable.
True.
You know, I remember, for example, as a lawyer, you know, I used to tell my students, you know, the number of hours is kind of the coin of the realm. The more hours you work, then, you know, the more revenue you produce, the more work you do. The problem is, I think, is it also creates inefficiency. You know, for example, if you think, well, I won't, you know, necessarily work I don't need to get this done today because I got this weekend and I'll just catch up on the weekend. But then when the default becomes working every weekend, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that may happen not immediately, but over time. And so, you know, but there are ways, if somebody does recognize it, that they can do something about it.
A workaholic or a hard worker, two very different things. And we're talking about it this morning with our morning show employment attorney, Gary Phelan, who also teaches law up at Quinnipiac University. So, Gary, if you've crossed the line, you've become a workaholic, you're like, oh, man, Conflabbit, he's talking about me. How do I curb that? And kind of, you know, dial it back a little bit, especially if you've got, like you said, if you've got employers who are like, wait, you're working weekends? This is great. Wait, you're working every event? Love that. Wait, you're working overtime and we're not paying you? Awesome. Love that. You know, you're not always going to have employers who are going to say, hey, you know what, Gary, let me put my hand on your shoulder and say, you're working too hard, right? I mean, the average employer may not, you know, take it upon themselves, especially if they've got a huge staff. I'm not going to knock the employers, but that may not happen where you have an employer say, hey, You gotta pull it back a little bit, my guy, my gal, whoever it may be. So what do you do? What do you suggest you do? And what rights do you have, especially if it means going and confronting your employer and saying, hey, you know what? My marriage is on the rocks. Or, hey, I haven't seen anything my kid has accomplished in the last year because I'm here too much. Or, hey, I haven't taken a vacation in I don't know how long. And it's not because you're not offering it to me. It's because I don't have the time to take it. How do you confront that?
I think the first thing you have to do is recognize it, that it's a problem. Once that's done, then the next step is, what do I do? One way is to create boundaries. That may be things like no work on the weekends unless it's absolutely urgent. No work, you know, if you work during the day, no work during the evening. Also, part of that is not just, you know, work like at work, but you create limits on technology. For example, no work emails over the weekend. Another is to develop hobbies. Like one of the things I did after, getting divorced, decided to change the law firm, is going to all my three daughters played sports. They all played in college. I went to virtually every game, which is not the easiest thing considering two of them were up, went to colleges up in Massachusetts.
Wow.
But making that a priority and making it clear to your employer, that's what you're going to do. You're going to make up the time. Third is, develop personal connections. So you have things to do other than work to fill the time.
Mm-hmm.
Another is mindfulness, do things like, meditation. Also exercise, physical activity. It's not just good for your health, but I think it makes people better employees because they're more physically energized when they get to work. And a big thing is also learning to say no. You don't have to take on every assignment that's given to you and just be upfront, with the employer. I think one of the things, but at that said, then the last thing I just want to point out is, like other types of addictions, sometimes, it may mean getting, psychiatric help or psychological help.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm a lawyer. I'm not a therapist. Although I do have my daughter and son-in-law are therapists, but I'm not. And so at some point, it may require that kind of, intervention. As far as what employers do, some employers, I have found, are starting to do things like implement their own guidelines and restrictions to, particularly with respect to the use of technology. Don't be emailing people, in the evening, unless it's an absolute crisis. What's important is who is in charge, because if somebody, the person is who is in the boss, in a sense, is a workaholic, that's going to be seen as, whether explicitly or implicitly, that's what I have to do in order to really, to survive here and to thrive. And so if the boss is saying, don't work as hard as me, but people are getting emails at 10 o'clock in the evening, the actions are much more important than the words.
I think, too, just defining what the task is at hand. And what I mean by that is sometimes we will almost become head cases, or we love the reaction we get when we do a good job or that our bosses acknowledge us. And we almost create in our heads that this has become a job. And so why I say that is, I got to tell you, Gary, a few years ago, I work at 3 a.m. Okay, it's kind of bizarre here to work at 3 a.m. But there's two other morning show hosts that also work here on our sister stations. They too are here at 3. And we did a couple of really fun sort of, we call them Instagram reels, these cute little trending videos together. And they were fun. It was just a fun thing for us to do together. And then all of a sudden it got so much popularity online that more and more people wanted to see more and more videos. And when we didn't crank out 2 to 3 videos a week, it almost became like we were not doing our jobs. And what's funny is about 2 years into it, I'm sitting with my two friends, and the two of them, who happen to be over the age of 60, so they're boomers, and they're kind of like, what is this Instagram stuff that I'm producing? They're like, is this Were we ever asked to do this? Did our bosses require us to do this? No, they never. That never happened. It never happened that we were required to make Instagram videos. And we made the determination that it was like, hey, you know what? When we want to make them, we'll make them. And when we don't, we don't. But for a few months there, the three of us were kind of dreading it. We would come in and it was like, you know, colleagues would say, oh, where was a video? You didn't drop one. Or we'd have listeners who were like, oh, where's a video? You didn't drop one. And we realized when we sat down, we were like, our boss has never asked us to do this. They've literally never required us to do this. This is just something we decided to do on our own. It blew up. And you almost forget because you love that people think it's funny. And you're like, ah, this isn't so bad. But then it becomes a chore. Or it becomes another task. And you realize that your boss has never required that of you. That does happen, actually, more often than people would like to admit, is that we take on more, or we volunteer, like you said, or we say yes to things, and our bosses are like, all right, great, but they're not requiring it sometimes. That is true.
Yeah, that's a good story. Melissa, reminds me how one of the senior partner at a firm where I work used to tell people how it's so good that, you know, Gary responds to emails at like 5:30 in the morning.
Yep.
And I was proud of that, not realizing he didn't ask me to do that.
Right.
See? I could have responded at 8 or 9 a.m. because that person wasn't working at 5:30 a.m.
Exactly.
But it's almost like that became part of, you know, what I was
You're
proud
like identity,
of.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 But they never asked you to do that. They never asked.
Right.
It's interesting. I don't know. It's something to just think about because I do believe there are definitely people who are overworked and they need to advocate for themselves. Absolutely. They need to say, hey, this is interrupting my life. I need to pull back. But there are also people like myself who have voluntarily taken on things that my boss never wrote or asked me or emailed me about to do. And I'm like, oh, this is not a big deal. And then all of a sudden, a few months later, I'm like, this is killing me. And they're like, well, we never asked you to do that. So stop doing it. So I don't know, just something to think about. But Gary, it's a really great conversation. And I so appreciate you having it here and so transparent about it, because I think a lot of people can relate to it. So thank you so much. It's a great topic.
Thanks, Melissa. Make sure to pack deodorant today. You really have the all-purpose show. I realized within 5 minutes you had movie highlights. We addressed workaholism, and you advised to pack deodorant. So now I'm prepared for the day.
Hey, you know what? I'm trying to make Mary Poppins out of all of us. So I appreciate the accolades there, Gary. Thank you so much.